in-depth and God-filled conversations with some of the brightest names in contemporary Christian music and worship. This is The Artist Interview with Gordon T.
Hey, what's up, everyone? It's Leland here, and we are so excited to be a part of The Artist Interview right here on Hope FM.
That was Lion and Lamb by the wonderful Leland. And I'm so pleased to have Leland Mooring with us right now. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. I'm doing amazing right now. I am. The weather is wonderful here in Nashville, Tennessee. The sun is shining. And hopefully by the end of this thing, I will have a half a sunburn on this side of my face by the close of this interview.
So. It looks good there. It looks good. We just got British weather. It's just raining here. So but yeah, it looks like it's bright and sunny, which I hope you don't get sunstroke, but you never know.
That's so awesome.
You are, I would say, quite a well-recognized name in contemporary Christian music worship scene. People I've known about for years and years and years, but there's going to be some people who are new to the station who maybe haven't heard your music before, and they're interested about maybe a bit of your backstory. So before we talk too much about music, can you rewind time and tell us how did it work out with you becoming a Christian in the first place, and how did music become a core part of your life?
Well, okay, so I'm 35 now. And I realize now at 35 years old how weird my upbringing and my story really is. As an adult now with like two kids, I have two girls and been married for 16 years. Now as like a full grown adult, I realize how weird my upbringing was and unusual, but also like I'm thankful for it now. So I grew up in church. I was, you know, born under a pew. We say in Texas, like you just come out of the womb with khaki pants and a braided belt, you're ready to go to church. And so like that was my childhood. My parents were worship pastors growing up. So they actually, before they became pastors, they were worship pastors. So my mom is a singer. She's got an amazing voice. And so my mom would teach these big 50 voice and 60 voice choirs growing up in Southeast Texas. And then my dad was an incredible musician. So he played bass guitar, but he would MD the bands, kind of direct the bands from a B3 organ.
Yeah.
So my dad would play B3 and piano, and my mom would teach the choir and sing. And so me and my older brother and little sister, we grew up watching my parents kind of tag team that and do that together. And so it was really inspiring to watch as kids, you know. And I think like then there was a period of 2.5 years where my parents were fired from this church. It was this crazy thing that happened out of nowhere. And so we didn't know what we're going to do next. And so my parents met this traveling revivalist evangelist guy. He's kind of like,
it sounds like the plot for a film at this moment.
It does. So they meet this guy. He's actually from Australia. His name is Nigel McNeil, and his wife's name is Kathy. They were coming through Texas. My parents were just fired from this church. We didn't know what we were going to do next. My dad was debating going and getting like a normal job like everybody else. And so we meet this pastor. He comes through and he prays for at this church service. He prays for my whole family. And when he gets to me and my brother, my older brother, I was 11. My brother was 13 at the time. When he prays for us, he says, I see you two guys starting a band one day and writing songs and traveling all over the world and singing about Jesus and the gospel.
Wow.
And so, you know, I was 11. I didn't know how to process all that or what that meant. But it was really powerful. It was a powerful moment. And our family was impacted. Well, fast forward, about a couple of weeks later, we say yes, my mom and dad say yes, to traveling on the road around the country for, it was supposed to be for about 2.5 months with this revivalist guy. And our family basically became the band. So my dad is an incredible musician. He played keys. My mom would sing and lead. And then she taught me and my brother how to harmonize in three-part harmony with her. So we were already kind of singing a little bit, but not like that seriously. We were just kids. And so my mom just said, you know what? I'm going to use the arrows that are already in my hand. And so she said, Jack, you're going to sing tenor. That's my older brother. She said, Leland, I'm going to teach you how to sing alto and three-part harmony with your mom. And that's what we did. And so 2.5 months turned into 2.5 years. We basically traveled on the road and we lived from hotel to hotel. My parents got our homeschool education stuff and we packed up our, I don't know if you have these cars in the UK, but in the States, we have a car called a Lincoln Town Car.
Oh, we definitely do not have that. No.
It's basic. A Lincoln Town Car is basically just a boat. You know, it looks like a boat on wheels. It's so big. It's a smooth ride, but it's a gas guzzler. But that was the only vehicle we had. So we packed up the Lincoln Town Car. We put my dad's keyboard in the back and our suitcases. It's one of those cars that has a really big trunk. So like,
that's good. That's good. You need that.
And so we did that and we traveled on the road for 2.5 years. And as a family, and you know, we had to have a name. So we came up with a name, Majestic Praise. And so that was our name, Majestic Praise. And basically what life looked like for the next 2.5 years is we would travel on a Monday, you know, in the U.S. is huge. So, I mean, just Texas alone, it will take you 11 hours to drive from one side of Texas to the other. And so my dad would drive 10, 11 hours. We would get to the next church. We would start doing these worship services on a Sunday morning. And we would go until like Thursday night. And we would do services morning and night, nonstop. We would do our homeschooling like throughout the day in a motel or a house, wherever they had to stay. And we would do church morning and night. And that was kind of like, that was my first real introduction into all things the gospel and music. These preachers that we grew up with on the road, they're still a massive, big part of my life today. Actually, one of them just turned 80 and just had their 80th birthday. And I wasn't able to make it because I had some allergy stuff going on. So I was so bummed about that. But we just celebrated his 80th birthday. They're kind of like my spiritual granddads of sorts. I'm not even sure if you can have those, but I have two of those.
Well, you can now, definitely. That's very cool. Yeah,
so
I love it.
That's where I was introduced really to Jesus. That's where I was introduced to the gospel. I think primarily because, you know, I watched my parents, navigate, being fired from a church. It was my first time as a kid seeing my parents really get, hurt by someone in church and have the full excuse to be a victim and to be resentful and be angry. And I watch my parents just continue to forgive and they continue to make peace. Whenever those people were brought up in conversation, they were peacemakers. And my parents demonstrated for me from the get-go as early as I could understand it, that following Jesus meant more than just singing songs and it meant more than just going to church, but it actually meant submitting to him the entirety of your life. Your whole life is actually your worship. It's not, you're just your song. And so I watched my parents do that by loving people who were treating them as enemies. They love their enemies. And then I watched my parents continually on the road for 2.5 years when we were in and out of church. I mean, church was our life. We were in these services night and day, and they were amazing atmospheres. Most of the time, it was incredible atmospheres of worship. But still, I watched my parents, us three kids, we would watch them get up in the morning Wherever we were, hotel, motel, someone's house, it didn't matter. Wherever we were, we would wake up to our parents singing and worshiping God with the Bible open in front of them. Even though we were about to go to church again, and even though we were about to do church services that evening, my parents lived. They weren't perfect, but they lived in this kind of pursuit of the presence of God, where they believed, I knew as a kid that my parents believed, that the presence of God was a real thing and that you could access God's presence wherever you were. It didn't matter. All you had to do was just approach God with a heart that wants to be near him. And they demonstrated that to us as kids. It was a habit in their life. And I think that was probably one of the first things that really impacted me as a kid. One of the first things I noticed is that, you know, we didn't have a lot of money as a family. We didn't have a lot of status or any of this stuff. We just had a Lincoln Town car, our suitcases, and our homeschooling books, and we were going from church to church. But I saw that my parents, even though they weren't perfect, they really did have this radical pursuit of God. And I was like, man, they really believe this. This is not a joke to them. This isn't just a job. This isn't just a head knowledge or some kind of weird theology they have. This is real. And so that was the first thing that impacted me. And then I remember being in one of these atmospheres of worship. You know, it was very charismatic. Some nights there'd be flags. You never knew what the night was going to look like. Every night it's kind of exciting going to a church like that because you never know what church is going to look like. So there was this one particular night where I got a melody idea. It had a few lyrics to it, but just mainly just a melody. But I didn't, it was, you know, this is before iPhones. This is before voice memos and smart devices. So I didn't really have anything to capture this idea. I just had to remember it, you know, the whole service. I'm trying not to forget this thing. And I get back home or back to the house that we're staying in. And I play this idea for my dad. And then my dad put some chords, and my mom sort of asked me a really interesting question. She said, Leland, what does it sound like you want to sing? Like, what do you want to say? And within about 30 to 45 minutes, my parents helped me write my first song with them. And so I actually got to write my first song, I guess it would be a worship song, actually. It was singing directly to God, and it was a song called Shine. And so I wrote it with my mom and my dad, right there that night. And fast forward
don't fast forward too far, because I'm gonna ask you if you can just sing a little bit of Shine for us in a second.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So I'll definitely sing it for you. So about a week later, this is the moment that one of the first real like encounters I had with God's presence. About a week later, we were at this church, and we were like two nights into this week of services with this church, and it was just really hard. You know, there's sometimes where you go to certain atmospheres, and we didn't know why, but some places just feel cold. You know, people aren't really responding very well. The room feels dead and kind of dry, and it just feels like it's taking a lot of energy to do anything. And my mom just looked over at me halfway through the second night of this service. And she said, Leland, she said, you know what? Can you just sing that song that you wrote last week? And I was like, well, I was like, we don't have any tracks for it. And we would do everything we had a mini disc player. We would play, every song had tracks. And so I was like, Mom, we don't have tracks for the song. She said, it doesn't matter. She said, let's just sing it anyways. And she said, Todd, you can play keys for it. So my dad started playing the piano, and I just started singing the song. I'll try to sing it with allergies here. It goes, I will climb the highest mountain. I will swim the ocean blue. I will soar like the eagle high. Lord, all I want is to be with you. Shine in me to the nations. Shine in me to the world. Move in me for the lost and broken hearted. Lord, all I want is to be with you.
Yay!
I sang this.
How old were you?
I was 11 years old.
It was 11 when you did that?
Yeah.
God, wow, amazing.
I had this little baby voice. And so I sing this song, and I was so nervous. I didn't know what to do. So I just closed my eyes. And I opened up my eyes after singing it a few times, and people were crying, and people were in the altar. Everyone was mostly seated, but now at this point, a lot of them had come down to the front, and my mom stopped singing, and so she was down there praying for people, and there was just this powerful moment where I remember at 11 years old, for the first time kind of sensing, I guess what you would call the presence of God. And it was just, you know, there was maybe 30 people in this room, 20 people. It wasn't some big platform or anything like that. But I knew right then and there that if this is the presence of God, you know, I want to encounter God. I want to know him. And it impacted me from that point forward. And I started writing more songs and getting more ideas. My parents got me a little digital, plastic vocal voice recorder, and it was just every recording you did was numbered, you know, number 001, number 002. And so I just started making little melodies and trying to capture them, and that's where my love for music and for worship, and in particular the pursuit of the presence of God started in our life as kids. And then we came home, we started my parents, we kind of felt that season come to an end. You know, you can really tell when it's time to probably stop doing something, when it starts getting really, really difficult and draining to do something. And it was really weird. It was like overnight, our family just started getting super tired. After 2 years of doing this with no loss of energy, all of a sudden we just started getting so tired and exhausted. And my parents were like, well, maybe it's time for us to go home. So we went home, we started my dad wasn't sure what was next, but we started a church in our house. We prayed. God said, start a church. And so we began to gather people in our home. And that's where the band Leland started. That's we just were me and my brother, Jack, he's not in the band anymore, but he was the guy who started the band with. And we started writing songs for our youth group every Thursday night. And that's the journey of the band Leland. And it's had lots of evolutions and change over the years. But Casey actually is on the call now. Casey is my best friend. And Casey and I met in 2011. And Casey started in the band with us just playing guitar. And then him and I became the best of friends and started writing music together. And so the latest iteration of Leland has been me and Casey since about 2015 or 2016 as the artist Leland together. And so I'm glad he's able to hop on. What's up, bud?
Hey, sorry. How's it going? Good morning, Gordon.
Hey, well, welcome, Casey Moore. Well, and good afternoon to you. So bit of a time difference between us, but that's no problem. It's great to see you. So you haven't been tempted then, now that you've got Leland Mooring and Casey Moore, to change the band name to Moreland? You have Moreland, and that would work, wouldn't it?
So it actually would.
There's all kinds of stuff you could do.
you've been in the band for a while, and we've just heard Leland's story of actually growing up as a kid and being on the road, which was amazing, extraordinary story. And actually, I do need to have a little caveat for the listeners at home. So Casey said, if you're doing something and you're getting really tired, it's time to stop doing it. That does not apply if you're a new parent. You just keep on being tired. You got that for the next decade, you know.
That's right. That's right.
That's so true.
You got 18 years of sleep deprivation.
Oh, man. I know.
So it would be great if we could find out a little bit about Casey's story at this moment as well. So tell us about, how did you become a Christian? How did God fit into your journey? And where did music fit into it all as well?
So probably very similar to Leland. I grew up in church as long as I can remember. I was in the church building. My mom, my grandparents, my brother, we would go to church every Sunday, and especially, you know, in the South, that's just what you do anyway, in general, if you're in the United States. Yeah. But, you know, through the years of going and always being there and my family kind of cultivating the ground and letting me discover who Jesus was, that eventually happened for myself and went from being my family's faith, my grandfather's faith that I looked up to so much, to becoming something real that that I really believed for me personally. And so so that was really cool. And I feel like I began to feel that around the age of 7 or 8 is when I asked the Lord to be in my heart, to be my Savior. And then it was probably around the age of 17 or 18, honestly, that late, close to when I met Leland, that I met my wife just prior to that. We started dating. She was at a different church, but her walk with Jesus and her knowing the Holy Spirit, and there's so much to it that I hadn't experienced yet. And so my wife was a huge part of me discovering a whole nother side to my faith journey and healing and all kinds of beautiful things. So it became real, and I kind of rededicated my life in that season. And then just shortly after that, I went on the road with a band called Remedy Drive. I was a guitar tech, just setting up their guitars, changing strings, loading the trailer, all that kind of stuff. But I met the band at my hometown in Memphis. After the show, I was that eager kid. It's like, hey man, if you need anybody on the road, I'd love to come help out, you know, thinking you never know if they're going to call you back. But, David Zock, the front man, gave me a call a few months later and was like, hey, we're going to go out on the road. We're going to do a bunch of, festival dates. We'd love to have you if you want to come guitar tech for us. So I did. I was out the whole summer with the guys. And then the very last show before I'm about to go home, me and David were up at the box. We were at some baseball stadium up in Chicago, I think. And Leland was playing with the band, and they didn't have a guitar player. And I didn't even notice that, but David noticed. And he was like, man, that's crazy. He doesn't have a guitar player. He's just singing everything and playing all the lead stuff. You should play for them. And I was like,
wow.
Yeah, sure. Like, you know, I was just at that point, I was a fan of the band. Sound and Melodies really changed my life and musical journey. Just coming out of youth group. So I was like, you know, that's probably not going to happen anyway. So later in that day, me and David go down to the guys' bus and trailer when they're loading out. And, you know, as I hoped, I met the guys, and they were all the best, really amazing dudes, each one of them. And so, you know, David introduced me, said, here's this kid. He's been traveling with us. He's an amazing guitar player. I wasn't. take this guy on the road and give him a try. And Leland's brother, Jack, I think he was kind of the most techie out of the band for a while. And YouTube had just come out, which is amazing. Shows you how long ago it was. He was like, yeah. So if you could go home and record yourself just playing Sound and Melodies on YouTube, just upload it and send us the link. I was like, okay. it was like so intimidating, but, yeah. So I downloaded the app or whatever it was for the computer at that time, made a little video of me playing Sound and Melodies, did a tryout video and sent it to the guys, and they liked it. Much to my surprise. And I went out with them probably 6 months later, or I can't remember the timeline, but it was shortly after. One of my first shows with them was The Call with Lou Engle in Sacramento, California. And that was just like this amazing Holy Ghost event. And it rocked my world in the best way. And that was the beginning of this, I think, 13 years or so
And you're both still smiling. And actually, wasn't that lovely when Leland said my best friend? I was like, how great is that to be working together and be best friends? And it's I think it's quite a complicated industry to work in. It's quite demanding.
Yeah.
And clearly there's lots of times when you see bands, unfortunately, splitting up, it gets to them. The pressure gets to them after a while. So what is it about you two that enable you to work together and just enjoy each other's company so much?
Well, we're dads. We have kids, marriages. I think over the years we've been in and around lots of other bands and watched, you know, it's not always some dramatic reason why bands, you know, don't work out. You know, sometimes it is. It's very chaotic and can get really messy. But most of the time it's just because of just life. You know, it's just the seasons of life, people. You know, at least that's the way it's been in our band over the years, even before, right around the time Casey joined, and then a little shortly after, you know, my brother left the band to go pastor full time. Some of the other guys left to go work with my cousin in country music. And, you know, it wasn't some huge dramatic thing. Like sometimes it's not a major falling out. Sometimes it's just life, it's the stuff of life. It's a seasonal change. It's God telling you to go a different direction. Our bass player was in our band for a long time and he wanted to go to the military and pursue the military. That was always a big dream of his. And so he left right in the middle of us, you know, touring, but it was cool. It wasn't weird. I think like, you know, Casey and I, we've experienced a lot of those big life changes too, at the same time, you know, having kids, being, you know, both of us have been married for a long time to our wives and going through all the ups and downs of life. I think that the key to friendship is communication. I think it's believing the best about one another. I think there's a bond that you can make when you make music with someone that makes a friendship even deeper. The action of making music already is a very deep thing to do with someone, and then when you add to that component years of friendship, it just makes the friendship even that much more stronger. And you know, I love Casey as a person. I love who he is, you know, more than just Casey the musician or the songwriter. So I think that's why our friendship has worked out, you know. And because I think even if we weren't, even if we hit a switch tomorrow and we weren't in a band tomorrow, Casey and I would still hang out. We would still be friends. We'd still watch movies together and be Lord of the Rings nerds together. And I think that's what makes a good friendship, you know?
Oh, so I can see you because we're on Zoom. So just to check, is there a particular Lord of the Rings character that you have styled yourself after?
Well, I do have the hair of Legolas, but not the not the color. So I'm if Legolas was Irish.
Yeah, I'm probably an Aragorn length now.
Yeah.
About 3 days ago, it was more of an Arwen length.
Oh, wow.
I just chopped my hair off.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Okay. So talking of making music, we do need to move on to your next track. Now, the track that you've chosen is your brand new track, You're Not Done, which also features Carrie Job. Tell us about the backstory to that track. What's the significance of it?
Sure. Yeah. In 2020, at the height of the pandemic, we had we lost some friends, but then we also had a friend of ours in California that he's a pastor, and he was in really bad shape. And so his wife called us and said, "Hey, you know, he's essentially on a ventilator, and we're not sure if he's going to make it.
So how old was he? And he had COVID, I'm assuming, at that point.
He had COVID, and so he was probably in his 50s. And you know what's wild is his health actually seemingly was pretty normal, which is what it took our whole family by surprise, because he was one of the last people we'd expect to have that bad of a case. So So he's on a ventilator, and they basically, you know, we're giving him not a good chance of making it out of it. His oxygen levels are really low. So we begin to pray, the whole family, and we prayed for about 3 or 4 days, and then finally got word that his levels started miraculously coming back, which was not normal. Most people didn't make it once they were put onto a ventilator. And so he miraculously got better over the course of like 3 or 4 days. And they took him off the ventilator. He went home, and then eventually called us. We got to do like a FaceTime with him. And we were so happy for him. We're all kind of peeking our heads in the FaceTime, telling him how happy we are that he's doing better. And he said, where's Leland at? And so I was like, I'm over here. So I put my head in. It was on my mom's FaceTime. We were all at my mom's house. So I said, what's up, Mark? I said, I'm glad you're doing better, man. We were praying for you. And he said, I want to tell you something kind of crazy. He said, there was a moment where my energy levels were so low. My oxygen levels were so low. And he said, I was having a hard time keeping my eyes open and staying awake. He said, I kind of said in my mind, you know, to God, God, I'm ready to just give up and come home and be home with you. And I'll trust you to take care of my family. And he was getting ready. He said, I was getting ready to give up. And he said, as soon as I was getting ready to just close my eyes and let go, he said, I heard God yell like in my mind and in my heart, three words. He said, you're not done. And he basically just told me, you're not done. And he said, so as soon as God said that, he said, the Bluetooth speaker that was in the room that my wife had just worship music on, the Bluetooth speaker started playing your version of Great Is Thy Faithfulness. And he said, that's my favorite hymn. And he said, you're one of my favorite singers. I didn't know that you did that. And I literally, I didn't know what to do at that point. I had chill bumps going up and down because I've never recorded a version of Great Is Thy Faithfulness. I've never recorded a live version or a studio version of that song. It's not on streaming. And he is sure, he's like, Leland, it was you singing Great Is Thy Faithfulness. And I said, well, the only place I've ever sung that song is alone with God, in prayer, you know, like at my house, or, I love that hymn too, but I've never recorded it. And, the only thing I can think that God did was that he captured it and somehow played it back for Mark, you know. That's not too far-fetched for me to believe that God could do something like that. So hearing Mark's story, God telling him, you know, you might think you're finished. You might think that you've got no air in your lungs. You might think that it's over. But I'm telling you that you're not done. And it just reminds me of Jeremiah 29:11, God saying, I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, plans to give you a future and a hope. You know, every day that you wake up, God actually has a purpose and a plan for your life. And that plan, no matter how you feel like life is going, that plan that God has for you is always to give you a hope and a future, that you would live and not die, that you'd prosper and not fail. And so that's what the song is based upon and inspired by. So, and we're so excited that we had our good friend, Carrie Jobe, say yes to singing on this thing. It's so crazy. So, Casey's been doing a lot of touring with Carrie for the last couple of years, playing guitar on the road with her. And of course I know her from back in the day. We did a lot of stuff in the early 2000s together, and I'm a massive fan of Carrie Jobe. And so, We were just talking. We were like, man, we need to have somebody else help us carry this song. And Casey was like, we should ask Carrie.
Still out breathing.
And that was You're Not Done by the wonderful Leland featuring Carrie Jobe. And I'm so pleased that Leland Mooring and Casey Moore are with us for the artist interview. Thanks, guys, for all that you've shared so far about your journey with Jesus and the wonderful music that you make. You know what? It'd be great right now, Casey, if you were happy to pray for listeners.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you, Jesus, for meeting us where we are. Thank you so much for loving us, no matter what our circumstance is, no matter what we've done or what we've come from. You know our story, even if we don't. We just ask that you would continue to guide us and show us. And if we don't even know you, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us, and that we could know you more, and that we could know our story, and just help us follow after you, God. You know, just like the song says, you're not done. And there's no matter what we're coming from, no matter what our story is, you have a hope and a future for us. That's what it says in the Bible. You have a plan for our life. And so I just pray that everyone listening right now would know that and would feel that. And it would encourage faith in whoever's listening right now. We love you, Jesus. Thank you. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Amen. Thank you, Casey. So, guys, what do you go to, the same church, different churches? What does church look like for you? And also you're on the road and all the rest of it.
Well, I think Casey and I, we attend separate churches. So I'm, me and my family, we just moved up to Hendersonville, Tennessee. I helped start a church about 4 years ago in Houston, Texas, called Gateway. And so I've been helping and on staff with them for the last 4.5 years. So I am currently kind of spread between two churches. The other church that I'm at is my brother's church. It's called Celebration of Life Church, and they are meeting here in Franklin, Tennessee, just south of Nashville.
Cool. What about you, Casey?
Yeah, we're going to The Belonging here in Nashville, downtown. We've gone there for almost 10 years now, and we just have such a great community there.
Is that where Danny Gokey and Sarah Rees lead worship?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, yeah, okay. I went there last year. It was great. Had a really good service. Great. So
yeah.
So nice church. So that's cool. And you guys, how far apart do you live then at the moment then?
Right now are about 30 minutes away from each other. So we are up kind of like in the northeast side of town. And then Casey and Liz are kind of like in, what'd you say, like southeast? Yeah.
That's no quite
tube,
easy.
Though. I just wish we had that tube system.
Wow. Yeah, you do. You need a tube line. The tube's the best.
You know, there are times that, you know, I miss London so bad that in the middle of my subconscious and in the middle of my sleep, I'll be woken up to that wonderful voice going, next up is the Piccadilly line.
Oh my goodness. Yes. You nailed that. That was awesome. Yes. That's. I used to work at Piccadilly Circus, so I'd say I'd have heard that a lot of times.
That's amazing.
Awesome. So how many times have you been to the UK, the two of you then?
Oh my goodness, we've been a lot now. It's crazy. I would love to actually sit down and try to figure out how many times we've been to the UK. It's got to be like north of 15 to 16 times, something crazy like that, across the UK. What's so wild is our band started traveling in 2006, and in right away from like 2006 until now, some of the first places we were invited were actually to Europe and the UK. So it was like Scandinavia, and then it trickled down to the UK. So we love it, man.
So what things have you done in the UK? Have you done any of the festivals, or is it just the tours, or what?
All the above.
We've done it all. We've done Big Church Day Out. We haven't had a chance to do David's Tent yet. I would love to do that. But we did Big Church Day Out. We've done that a few times and lots of tours. We did a tour with Martin Smith in 2014 across the UK, which is awesome. That was pretty epic. And then just lots of like shows, played at lots of churches. One of my favorite stops that we did last was to Brighton, and we played at Ed Martin's Church in Brighton. Is it Saint Peter? What's it called?
Saint Peter's. Yeah, it is Saint Peter's.
That was awesome, man. I love eating the fish and chips in Brighton. It's so good. Mm-hmm. The town is such a cool town. Everyone is like really young there. It's like a really cool town. I'm like, man, if I moved anywhere, I'd probably live in Brighton.
I think you mispronounced it. I think what you meant to say is, if I moved anywhere, I'd move to Bournemouth. I think that's what you meant to say.
Yeah.
Okay. Musically speaking, obviously you spend all your time, I'm guessing, thinking music. Who are the people that you're listening to right now when you want to worship? Who are you putting on?
Well, I'm kind of partial, but I love Cody's new album. His double album, I guess. There's a lot of amazing songs on there.
Yeah.
And there's actually one that Leland was on that everybody loves.
Man. Okay. That's another hard question. I think right now I'm listening to a lot of Phil Wickham's new stuff. I'm loving all of his kind of up songs, like a lot of the praise songs. I feel like that's a really hard thing to find as like a worship leader or worship pastor, is like songs that you can like dance and jump to and praise God. I feel like it's easy to find songs that will get you kind of to enter in and so I love that. I love all the Elevation Rhythm stuff is really cool. But there's a record though for me that kind of does it, that's has been around for a long time. And I keep going back to it, and that's a record by, technically it was by Jesus Culture, but it's not, you won't find it under Jesus Culture. It was in 2000, it was in 2011 or 2012, and it's called Emerging Voices. So if you type in like Emerging Voices, it'll pull up this record from 2012. And top to bottom, the live worship album, it's just the best. I've had so many encounters with Jesus just turning that music on. And then obviously the Bethel record, We Will Not Be Shaken, is also a classic for me. That's an amazing one too.
I do tend to go back to the older records.
Yeah.
Talking about the older records, in fact, so because you guys have been around for a while together, and Leland, right back from, did you start doing Leland, was it like 2004-ish, something like that?
Yeah, 2000, a little bit later, 2006 was our first album, yeah.
Yeah, but you don't do an album from just starting. You must have started before the album came out. I'm going to guess.
Yeah, you're right.
So you've done 7 albums. You've had 4 Grammy nominations and 8 Dove Awards. That is quite insane, and you're still going strong and still loving it. Can you tell me a little bit about maybe one of the highlights of the moment that you most remember? From touring or just from your career, really.
My goodness. Well, I think making our last record, City of God, is probably one of the more recent, like, you know, big. There's lots of memories from over the years that we've made that I could go back through, but probably the more recent memory that really was like, man, that was something very special, was when we made our latest album, City of God. Only because it was a live record technically, so all of it was shot and recorded live, but there was no audience. So it was, if you go on YouTube and pull up any of the tracks from our latest record, City of God, it's all up there. You'll see it was kind of shot in the round, and it was Casey and I and some of our best friends that do music, musicians. And then there's also lots of people behind the cameras that were all a part of our world that helped make that possible. And we just tracked the record for about 2 days, 2.5 days in this room in Franklin, Tennessee. And it's just a simple like black box room, and they helped make it more magical. And we just, it was kind of like an open heaven is what it felt like for about 2 days. And so I don't know that I've had that kind of encounter musically and with the Lord in a while. That was almost out of body. That was a really interesting time, and felt really significant. So that's probably one of the latest ones for me.
I've got to say, so I listened to the whole of City of God today, and it really touched me. It is a beautiful, beautiful album. Listeners, if you have not sat and listened to an album recently, I've got to say, it's great the way they get playlists in Spotify and randomization and all the rest of it. But sometimes, if you actually want to just have the story that comes through the music, sitting down and listening to a whole album, which is designed and packaged and made the way that the artists themselves want it to be. I would say start with City of God. Go and listen to the whole of City of God. It will do you some good. It's a great album.
Thank you.
A sonic feast, and definitely felt like God was all over it. So it's an awesome album. I fully recommend it. So that's great. So has there been a time when you're on the road touring and you get into a situation where you don't know what on earth you're meant to do next, and you need just some wisdom from heaven, and God stepped in and helped you navigate what was to come?
Yeah, I think both of us, both Casey and I together and individually, have had those same crossroads, I think, over the years. I think it's just part of life is navigating season change. Some of the people that impacted me the most are people who've, they're not perfect, but they've got a rhythm when they enter into those kind of seasons where they can tell something's about to shift or change. They have like a way of listening to God, and, you know, slowing down essentially and spending time with Jesus to make sure that they are, you know, going left if they need to go left, or right if they need to go right. And those are the people that have impacted me the most. I'm trying to get better about those changes, because I feel like that's the hard part of life, is learning when to go left and right. And I think God's faithful and kind, and I think He cares more about who I'm becoming and less about what I'm doing. He cares more about that than He does necessarily what I'm doing. And so, yeah, so I think that's got to be first and foremost before anything else. Sometimes we get really locked up in, you know, the exact thing that we're supposed to be doing, and we just lose sight of who we're actually becoming, our character, and who we're being molded into. So I've been trying to think more about that lately and less about, you know, all the shifting and changing. But yeah, I've always just tried to follow peace, you know, just pray, and then what do you have peace with God about? And the cool part is that sometimes it won't make sense to have peace about something, you know, it'll to everyone else, it'll look insane, but you'll have, you know, just a resolute. It doesn't mean that decision is going to be easy, or that you're not going to face challenge. It actually means the opposite. It means that God's peace will cover you because of the challenge that might come with saying yes to some things and saying no to other things. And so, yeah, that's my little spiel.
It was a good spiel. That was appreciated. Thank you, Leland. What's been the largest crowd that you've played to?
Man, that's a tough one. I think probably there was a big church day out that we did that was pretty huge. I think the biggest crowd that we've ever played to in terms of numbers, correct me if I'm wrong, Casey, was that like Creation East or West, one of those? I think it was something like, it was Creation, I think maybe it was Creation East, that there were literally, I think they said something insane, like 70,000 people there, and it looked like a sea of people. I've never seen that many people in my life. It was wild looking.
That sounds like an absolutely exciting, amazing moment. And the thing is that 70,000 people is, they're all individuals. It's loads of people, actually, they're being impacted,
it's
isn't
crazy.
It? So it's awesome.
that was kind of a hard thing to figure out, because you were so taken back by how many people. It was tough to really feel like you were connecting at all. Yeah, because it was such an ocean of people that you're just like going, I don't know if who's listening to this right now, or if everyone else feels the same way, like, wow, look at how many people there are. Like, you know, that was an interesting day. It came and went. It was so fast.
But doubtless your music does connect with people very strongly. So I suppose what I'd be interested in, is there for each of you a story where maybe someone's shared with you how your music has impacted them personally?
I mean, for sure. I remember I'm pulling an oldie out, but this is a really good one. This is back in 2009 or 10. We had released a record called Love is on the Move. And on that album was a song called Follow You, which is just about the gospel going to the four corners of the earth. And it was a song about the poor and the needy and taking care of the least of these. And so it was kind of a commissioning song because God had been kind of ministering to all of us about that and the real gospel. And so we wrote a song about it. And then we were on the road. And I think it was something like a year or two later. So this is like 2011, 2012, somewhere around there. We met this couple who came up to me at a church service that we were playing at. And they came up and they said, Leland, they said, you guys released a song 3 years ago called Follow You. And what's wild is that, he said, me and my wife were praying at the time. We had been fasting and praying about a decision whether or not we were going to move to, I think it was like Southeast Asia, to pursue missions and to be missionaries. And he said, I had a choice between a really solid career in front of me that was going to make good money. I went to school for something else. He said, I had a job opening. And he said, it was kind of a choice between that or moving our family, me and my wife, and moving to this other country. And he said, while we were fasting and praying, you guys released that song, or it was out. Someone shared it with us. And we prayed with that song for like a week. And God eventually moves in our family to go and to be missionaries. And so they had already been missionaries for about a year at that point. And we're kind of back in the States raising financial support to go back out again and in doing that whole thing. So to my knowledge, they're still doing that. And they're missionaries. So, you know, you hear stories like that and you know your music is connecting with people and God's using it, but you just really don't know the full extent until you meet people and they share with you stuff like that. So it's crazy.
That is, and of course, is there not just that family that impacted, but everyone that family interacts with who are impacted by the goodness of God that comes back to that song that just spoke to them. That's fantastic. What about you, Casey?
I don't know if I can think of anything specific, but that's because there have been so many times, you know, after we do a worship set, just that we've met people that share their stories. You know, we've heard story after story of just the goodness of God, really, you know, and me and Lee are always just so honored to be like the smallest part of that story. And that's where we, when we go to the studio or whenever we're writing songs, that's what we're focused on anyway, is just connecting to God and connecting people to Him through our music. And so, I mean, there's been so many times after our sets in the last few years, especially because of Waymaker and going through the pandemic and that song really being a lifeline.
Yeah,
we didn't write that song. We only covered it because we believed in that song and it kind of did the same for us. So we were like, it has to be on our record. And so Sinach let us cover that song. And so, you know, that has been a huge part of our story in the last few years. And like I said, through the pandemic, just all the videos we've seen on Instagram and people just being encouraged and, you know, to keep going and that God can always make a way for you. And
yeah,
actually, I've got to say, you did a really good job there because we've got time for one final track from you guys. And I think it'd be appropriate if that would be Waymaker then. Is there anything you'd like to add into maybe as an introduction, anything that needs to be said at this point?
Sure. I mean, a little backstory on the song. So we were latecomers to that song. You know, I know that lots of the UK and the rest of the world were already singing Waymaker just because of Sinach. You know, she wrote that song and we heard it in like, I think 2016 or something like that. And we started playing it, just covering it when we would go on the road. And it, no matter where we went, whether it was the States or other countries, it didn't matter where we went. Even if people didn't know the song, they gravitated to it so fast. And so we were actually going to have her come and sing on the record with us live. And about a week or so before the recording, there was some like travel visa stuff that, you know, was really tough to get into the country at the time. And so she just gave us permission. She said, you know, I can't make it, but you guys have my permission. Just go for it. Record the song. Do it the way that you've been. Play it the way you like to play it. And so we already kind of had a way we were playing it out on the road. And so we just did it like we would do it in church. And I think we knew it was a special song. It was already ministering to us. But I don't know that we knew the full extent of what God was going to do with it. So that was a beautiful surprise. And it's awesome to see what God's done with that song. I think it's the first of many songs coming from writers from the nations of the world back towards the West. You know, we've between America and the UK and Australia, a lot of the songs that the world is singing are being written in those three places. And it seems like there are so many, probably countless songs that exist right now in the nations of the world that we don't even know about, you know, that,
yeah,
they're not just good songs. They're like God songs that can change the world. And so hopefully that, Waymaker is the first of many, you know, those kinds of songs.
That was the wonderful Leland Mooring and Casey Moore joining us for the artist interview. So grateful for those guys sharing their story and their beautiful music as well. Do go and look them up online, subscribe, follow them, listen to them on your favourite streaming platforms, etc. Talking of streaming platforms, of course, there are many other episodes with loads of great artists, amazing stories and more music for you to enjoy. Just go onto your favourite podcast platform and search up The Artist Interview. It's the one with the red logo. So look out for that. Maybe like it. Share it with a friend. There's so much blessing in it. We want many people to enjoy it. And you by sharing and also subscribing, liking, reviewing, etc. All helps part of that process. I'm your host, Gordon T. And I look forward to being with you on the next episode of The Artist Interview.
You've been listening to The Artist Interview, a Hope FM podcast. Find us at hopefm.com/theartistinterview.